Really good.
Well, here it is. The Achilles heel of all preachers. It's that Sunday that parish priests always get a guest speaker in. And you, as a congregation, have probably heard it all. The Trinity is like a pool of water that is liquid, steam, and ice all at the same time. The Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. Or I tried this one once, the Phantom, because the Phantom is Mr. Walker, the ghost who walks, and the 21st Phantom all at the same time. The Trinity cannot be three separate identities or beings, for example, Judd, Cousins, and Kerr. Better still, Jackson, Sarong, Bolton, or Amos, Tracy, and Voss. Fremantle has so many. And that's where the difficulty for us lies, trying to use our limited capacity as humans to box the God. Notice I didn't say a God, because that would infer there's more than one. Box the God in a way we can understand. The Reverend Grant Bullen, a newly ordained priest in the Adelaide Diocese, scored the Trinity gig nearly 40 years ago in a parish where I was a student in training, and proceeded to teach us how to whistle. So for 10 minutes, he taught us how to whistle a tune, while he then wove in the story of St. George and the Dragon, ending in, "I really don't know how one can really describe or fully understand the Trinity, but at least now you can all whistle a tune in unison." Well, that's 5 minutes done, okay. So today I'm going to take time to talk to you about King Nebuchadrezzar, not Nebuchadnezzar as we have made it. A king filled with his own grandeur, living in Babylon, and living with him are Jews who are in exile, forcibly. And in the court are four Jewish men, Daniel and his three companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But their names have been changed, and you may or may not know them as Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because you see, the culture of the time was that if you could name something, you owned it. I know people who rename people they meet, because then they have that power over them with that new name. Daniel and his friends have been asked to interpret Nebuchadrezzar's dreams. And also, Nebuchadrezzar has built a golden statue, which everyone is expected to bow down and worship. And Daniel's three friends refuse. So they are condemned to be burnt in the fiery furnace. No, they didn't whistle while they waited. And that's where the song of the three young men comes in. See, I eventually got there. I had you waiting. In the early church, this prayer of praise was recited every day. Now I think it's Thursday morning or Thursday evening in the calendar of morning evening prayer. But for us, it's been reduced to 5 verses from 40. It is a song of praise, calling on every aspect of creation to sing praises to God and to give thanks for God's blessings. But if you went to your Bibles now, to Daniel 3:22, where this lengthy passage should sit, verse 23 reads this: "But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the furnace of blazing fire." It's not there. This song exists in totality in the original Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, called the Septuagint, or LXX, because 70 scholars worked on it. not as the myth says, 72, because someone tried to say there were six members of each Jewish tribe and therefore you end up 12 times 6, 72. And there are three versions. And you can guess where they come from. Codex Vatinicus. Never heard of the Pope. He lives in Rome. Codex Sinaiticus. The Sinai Desert. Number three, Codex Alexandrinus. Well, a bit of a mumble over here from Quinana, thank you. Alexandria. For us, we read it in the in-between scriptures, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we call it the Apocrypha, not the apocalyptic scriptures. Scriptures that have been recognised by Anglicans and Catholics and worthy to be part of our Bibles. Now, here's another myth. The myth I heard when I was at theological college, and I could not get AI to come up with a creative enough story to say it's true, that when Elizabeth II was at her coronation service, she was presented with a handwritten copy of the Bible. Fantastic, you know, leather bound, everything else. But she returned it because they left out the Apocrypha. What a blow. You know that myth, Judy? No, okay. All right, that's a myth. Okay. The book of Azariah is where the song of the three young men appears. The names Azariah is also significant because in the Hebrew, Azariah means Yahweh has helped. That's significant. So you can't read anything in the scriptures without thinking it has to be significant. Right? Has to be significant. So in this book, verse 1 to 22, Azariah confesses Israel's sin and acknowledges God's justice in allowing the exile. That's huge. Remember the words of the criminal on the cross to Jesus? We indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. It's almost the same. And Azariah continues, pleading for God's mercy, not on the basis of sacrifice. Remember, the temple was the place where they sacrificed to get forgiveness of sins. Jews can't do that in exile. But what he pleads for God's mercy is because of God's covenant of love with the Jewish people. And he asks God to rescue them, to show his glory to the nations. Continuing in that book, verse 23 to 28, the angel drives out the flames so that three guys in the flames don't get burnt. And then from 29 to 68 is the song of the three young men. And the three young men call on all creation to bless the Lord, sing praises to him, and highly exalt him forever. How does all of this connect for us on this Trinity Sunday? First of all, it calls us to seek God and remain committed to our faith. No matter what's going on around us, we must seek God and remain committed to our faith. Because God's people are not defined by rescue. God's people are defined by suffering. Is this what's wrong with our church in First World Australia? We're not suffering enough. Now, I've just spent 10 days overseas and people there have got a lot less than us, but they smile a lot more than we do. Right? God is with us in the suffering. Not just one part of God, but all of God. God is all and all is God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We may not understand the Trinity, but don't fall into the trap of only focusing on the one you like. Have conversations with Christians and let's talk about the totality of God. Not just get locked into Jesus or locked into the Holy Spirit or locked into the Father. We've got to talk about the totality of God. You take one, you take the other two automatically. The other thing we've got to remember is this. St. Augustine once said, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. And the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. That is, the New Testament has illuminated the richer meaning of the Old Testament text, not clear to Old Testament people of God. That doesn't mean we read Jesus back into the scriptures. No, we look at the scriptures and the scriptures reveal to us God's redemptive journey, which culminates in Jesus. Jesus said that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Remember he says that to the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. You would have had that 2-3 weeks ago. So let us daily give thanks to the totality of God and all the blessings we've got. Let us grow in our faith. And remember, even when we are suffering, God is there and God gives us hope. The Lord be with you. Amen.